You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. In this first segment, oh man, we've got Ike Opara.
Ike Opara, this is a double guest episode.
That's right. We got two guests, bro. We're throwing guests in the first segment, my guy.
Yes, Ike Opara of Minnesota United and the PSI podcast will be joining us, talking a lot of smack. It's going
to
be great.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Plus, we talk about a bunch of other stuff. And in the second segment,
we're joined by Ivis Galarsip to talk about a little bit of the history of U.S. men's national team, U.S. soccer, MLS. Been an OG journalist. Tons of respect for this dude. And we talk about some Liga MX Liguilla.
We talk about Liga MX, the littiest league in the world.
So we have a little fun. So all this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden. When you watch soccer on Fox Sports, you are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Crash. Yes. I'm a trained drummer.
I was like, what the hell is he talking about? I didn't know that was a drumming reference.
Yeah, that's right. There's a hi-hat, there's a crash. Anyway. All right.
Welcome to the Cooligans, your favorite drum instructional videos.
It's like Alexis doesn't know how to read music or read regular words.
But I know how to listen to music.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right. We are the Cooligans. We're your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
Yeah, we better be.
Dog. Okay.
Because we're not just that. We're a lot.
We're a lot of things.
We're a drum instructional show. We sometimes talk about soccer. We also happen to be the gulliest soccer show in the world.
That's right. I'm in a drumming mood because I saw Tool not too long ago. And I'm still, Danny Carey. All right. You know who I'm talking about.
A big fan. I love that song about stuff they sing.
We're excited to. It's going to be a hot show today.
It's gonna be crazy
because now we have players, we have boxes.
That's pretty much the whole show. You told them everything that's going to happen.
It's like the trailer that gives everything away.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to want to watch the movie anymore.
There's also banter. Get ready for banter.
A couple of announcements that we have to make because we're going to right after this taping. We're
literally zooming straight to the airport.
Zoom. Right. Okay.
It's a whole new, it's a car share service you don't know about.
Okay.
It's only for us celebrities. It's actually very inexpensive.
But we're going to Florida for we're flying to IMG Academy for the ICC Futures.
This is gonna be great.
This is gonna be pretty crazy. Yeah. So this is a youth tournament with teams from all over the world, and it's like
huge teams.
The Manchester Cities, the PSGs.
Juventus, you got Atletico Madrid. You got Manchester City, who you mentioned. You got Paris Saint-Germain.
Okay.
Wow.
I heard of them. All right. I can't say their name correctly, but I heard of them.
Right. I hope one of them got like a 6XL kids jersey for me to wear.
Y'all
fat shaming these kids? What goes on in these academies?
What are you doing, France?
Yeah, damn.
You need to cut it out.
All you eat is butter and cream, my guy.
How are you so thin? So we're excited.
Just a French kid crushing cigarettes in between the games.
We're going to lose our opportunity to host this thing, Alexis.
Just ripping cigs, dude.
It's a big tournament. We're excited to be there. We're going to be there for 5 days. So if you're in Bradenton, Florida.
All of you in Bradenton, Florida.
I've seen the stats. I've seen the ratings. Huge fan base out in Bradenton, Florida.
Yeah, we big time in Bradenton.
So come through to see the tournament. Say hello to us.
It's not far from Tampa. Come through. Say what's up. It's at the IMG Academy.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
All right. So
I always knew I'd go to the IMG Academy. You know what I mean?
any academy.
Yeah. I mean, specifically like a world renowned soccer academy. I knew one day I'd be there doing what I do best, which is yelling at children in all microphones. Come through.
We made it. It's such a good feeling.
Mama, you proud of me yet?
It's not a scholarship, but it's pretty damn good. All right. So we also have a couple of, before we start the show, we got a couple of boxes that people sent to us.
That's right.
One
of them looks better than the other. I'll tell you that.
So, okay. I'll open this one. This is
it's already open. What do you mean? I'll open it.
I'll show you this one. Yeah, this box is pretty banged up. It made it here somehow. Oh, wait, let me do mine first. Hold on.
I was going to say, you know, have you ever watched The Wire when they say step on the package? That's not what they mean, dog.
Okay, but these are the type of packages that packages arrive in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what
of
I'm
course.
Saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That comes out of a secret compartment of an Altima.
Okay. So, all right. I don't know who this is from.
There's like liquid spilt on it.
So I don't know what happened to this package, but it's really, it's banged up.
We're sorry.
It went through a lot to get to us. So, okay. I probably don't have time.
There is liquid spilled on it. You can see it.
Look, I'm not even going to question the liquid. I'm just going to make sure to wash my hands after.
Yeah.
It says, my guys, congrats on landing the TV show. It's made the unboxing segment so much easier to appreciate, which makes sense because it was normally over audio.
I argue. I think it's great to hear us open up gifts.
Huge fan of the pod for years now. Thanks for adding a bit of gully to the soccer landscape in this
Hell
country.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So this is from Nick Sint. Thank you. He's a great dude. Gully Squad member. Great dude. So thank you. From Minneapolis City. SC, so
who we've been representing since day one. We love Minneapolis. Oh, we got jerseys.
Oh, we got shirts. Ooh. We got one shirt. Oh, this is dope. This is a like a foosball players. It says Stegman Soccer Club in the back.
That's pretty dope.
Pretty cool.
I guess this is mine since they don't make the jersey in my size. Very cool.
this is
a 2XL.
This is mine here. This is a medium. Oh, this is a kit.
Stegman's Old Boys on the back. Shouts
Look
to you.
Look at this. This is a dope kit. Thank you, Stegman.
We're
going to
throw
you,
this in the wash because whatever spilled on it got on here, but it's all good.
Yeah, this is has a little bit of a hue on it as well.
Yeah, nice patina. Let's open this up. Shouts to Nick Stint. That's dope.
So we don't know who this is. Oh, okay. Now they're both from Minneapolis.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting lots of packages from Minnesota.
Okay. What a coincidence. Honestly, we didn't know what was in these boxes.
We had no idea.
And we have Ike Opara on the show from Minnesota United.
This is all Minnesota. And you and I are wearing all Pele stuff.
Oh my God.
All the stuff is matching. All right, here. You take a look at this one. I think this was, this is 2XL. Here we go, baby.
Oh, a tie-dye talisman. Thank you so much.
Bruh, you ever see tie-dye in 2XL, my guy? I'm going to look like a package of Skittles coming at you, dog. Look at this.
This is cool.
How fire is this?
All right. We need to start smoking weed on this show, I think.
Yo, it's legal to a certain weight. Yo, shouts to Talisman, man. This stuff is...
Talisman Cops.
Stone boxes.
Dope. All right.
People are going to start to think I'm the one who stepped on the package. Shouts to Talisman.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all that stuff.
Talisman also, shouts to them for the really cool Bruised Banana hat.
That's right. We have the our Cooligans hat is also a Talisman cap.
That's right.
So
hold on a second. I happen to have it with me? Yes, I do.
Boom. Uh-huh. All right. So the other
merch,
thing.
Baby.
Wanted to shout out. We have. So the other day I was on Instagram.
Were you?
Ever heard of this?
The other day.
Wonderful website.
Mickey Rooney over here.
On Instagram, and I see we get tagged in an Instagram story.
And you're like, not again.
Oh, boy.
This is not my baby.
Stop it with the accusations, Sheila.
Right? We know what you're up to, Sheila. We ain't getting paid like that.
Not yet.
You can't have both of our babies in one baby. It don't make sense.
It's just, I don't know science well, but I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. No, we got tagged. By Georgie Mihaljevic.
That's not our baby, Georgie.
But no, Georgie Mihaljevic watching our show.
And he just gave us a little wave.
A little wave. We're waving back to you, Georgie. There you go.
Right there.
Thank you, Georgie, for watching the show. Really cool that player.
Imagine he's watching right now.
I hope so.
Oh, and he's like, whoa.
He plays for the Chicago Fire.
That's right.
He also plays for the U.S. Men's National Team. And we were talking about the Chicago Fire last week.
The Chicago Fire. That's right.
He hates the way I say Chicago, but that's fine.
Chicago. You say it like an uncle. It's like, where are you going to college? Yeah, you're going to Chicago. I could have gone.
Anyway, thank you, George Mihaljevic, for watching the show.
Shouts to you, Georgie.
And shouting us out. Very, very cool. We
need to change the name of Chicago to start with a D and a C. Just like Georgie, you don't pronounce the D. We'll do the same thing for Chicago, just out of respect to the dude who's watching. Shouts to you.
Wow. It didn't make sense. It's super unnecessary.
Well, welcome to the show, Christian. We just yelled at a woman named Sheila that doesn't exist for 5 minutes. I got a shirt that's got a weird stain on it. Welcome to the show.
It's called tie-dye. That's what we're saying.
That's the other one. Yeah, baby.
We have to talk about this story that is it's definitely.
Is this the gulliest soccer player in the history?
I mean, I don't know about gully. You see,
he overgullied.
I think we have a different definition of what is gully. Like you just, if somebody commits a crime, you're like, well, that's a very gully thing you gully. Did. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, I usually like.
You're like, let's find a positive spin for this.
Like things that are like, you know, ratchet. Keeping it real.
This is both of those things.
He
kept the real thing.
To the point where it's not illegal.
I think the fact that he got away with it. I think the fact that he got away with it four times.
Yeah, it's...
Let's talk about it. Because
he duped a couple people.
Yeah,
yes.
The guy's name is Bernio Verhagen,
and who is a player who...
Allegedly.
we have to leave it at that. So he's a player. He signed for Cape Town City FC. So this
But first he signed for Tiraspol, which yes. was the club, the photo you just saw.
The photo, yeah, but no.
Tiraspol, that's his first contract.
The photo you just saw was for Cape Town. So that was that was the tweet. So this is why it kind of started the path of like people starting to be like, yo, what's up with this guy?
What's up with my man? Because you know, like transfer market, right? If you go to transfer market, like they'll show you where a player's been and whatnot. If you look at his, it's got to be like question marks everywhere. Because first, he signed his first contract with a club called Tiraspol, which I forget what country that is.
Denmark.
No. I don't think it's Denmark.
Oh, he's Danish.
Yeah, he's Danish. He's now playing in Denmark. But here's what happened. Signs for Tiraspol, first professional contract, gets let go of a month later. That club has completely washed all mention of him from their website, right?
Yeah.
You think that's probably not a good deal, but that's cool because then he gets a chance at Cape Town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cape Town FC in South Africa. That's their top flight, right? Big deal. Month later, gone.
Yeah.
No mention of him on the website. Nothing. Tweets deleted, the whole nine. You think, well, that's the end of it for him. Nah, son. He finds a way to get to Chile, to their top flight, Audax Italiano. Signs for them. Also, never touches the field, never makes nothing, then he's gone.
Doesn't work out. Unfortunately, you hate to see it.
Right? You know, sometimes you just need to get a leg up. You know what I mean? Someone needs to give you a chance.
Why are they out for me?
Right?
You know? I'm trying my best.
It's not me, it's them. All three of them? Yes, I know, right? But it doesn't end there, because then he gets to go from there. This is all like in the span of like 4 months, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, my man's freaking flying miles alone. It's great.
Crushing it.
My man goes to the last one, which is Viborg.
Yeah.
So now he's at Viborg,
This is the Danish club, yeah.
Trains once, and they're like, I don't think my dude's ever played soccer before in his life. Dead ass.
I mean, I've seen a lot of soccer players, and this dude doesn't seem like he knows soccer.
I don't think he's seen soccer players before, right? So he, all of a sudden, they're like, yo, he's going to have to go play with the reserves.
Sure.
And the reserves are like, yo, who's this trash-ass player you sent us? Right?
Yeah, even the kids, the U7s, are like, I don't think he knows. I'm better than this man.
I don't think he knows, like, how to draw or color in the lines. My man is just all over the place. So he gets put in the reserves. They're trying to figure out what's going on. At the same time, a reporter starts looking into his past, right? And that's never a good sign for my man, right? This is when he realized he had overgullied, right? Well, actually, it gets a little bit gullier next, right? They realize he had never played anywhere. The reason he's going from team to team is because an agent for the Stellar Group, which is huge.
Yeah.
The Stellar Group is one of the most massive soccer agencies in the world.
Yeah.
Huge names. Gareth Bale. I think Ronaldo at one point was like just a huge name. Stellar Group calls and says, yo, we got a player. You're like, I'll sign him. And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Except the agent was fake. Never worked for Stellar Group.
They got catfished.
Yo, I think my man was just on the phone himself. Like, yo, this is what up. It's Steve from Stellar Group. I got a player for
last
you.
Last name? I don't got one. I
don't need one. I'm like, share. I work for the Stellar Group.
But it's Steve.
Yeah, Steve. A very original name. Thank you for asking.
My name is Steve, big time agent.
Yeah.
Stop asking questions.
Middle name, totally real. Totally real, big time agent.
So
I also like, he's probably like, tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk. I'm in a helicopter. Can't talk to sign my plane.
But
land me at that McDonald's.
But the fact that this worked is, I mean,
four times,
especially, and but it didn't work in the same country, right? So they had to be like, oh, we need another
Well, that's what you do, right? You got to switch up the victim. You can't just go next door.
Yeah.
You got to go to another country.
Exactly. So
also Chile. No one would have thought to go to Chile, right? A hack goes to Argentina, right?
Sure.
He's like, no,
professional Ocean's 11 type criminal.
Yes. Right? Now we're on the same page here. Now we're thinking like them, you know? Right? My man's was like, should we call Uruguay? They're like, you've gone too far. Uruguay, come on.
But
you go to Chile, call the belt.
It really shows how much like cluelessness there is in this, especially in the international transfer market, where nobody knows. They could be some kid. Yeah, like it could be a kid in a small country or whatever. But
there's not been a video of this guy playing soccer anywhere.
It was just
there's
somebody
no
like, yo, my homie, he real good at soccer. Trust me.
Yeah, nah,
that's it.
Nah, man, I got this kid. You need him. So whatever. Dotted line signed. We good. He'll be there. Actually, he's right there right now. Yeah, he's the guy outside on the phone.
sign him.
Yeah, no, good. This reminded me of this guy when I was at New York Comedy Club. This guy walked in with his hoodie up, right? And remember those hoodies that you would zip up all the way to the top?
Yeah, covered your face.
It was all stars, right? And he had it zipped up as high as it could go to just sunglasses. And he was like, kind of like chewing on the zipper. And he was like, what's up, what's up, what's up? He walks in the green room. We're all like, yeah, man, what's up? He's like, win him out. And we're like, who are you? And he was like, what's up, man? I'm Mr. New Jersey. This is real. 100% real. I don't know if you want to bleep that. I don't give a fuck.
Also, this is quite standard in the comedy community. You'll meet plenty of people that are just like, yo, why? You got a real name. Just use it.
Nah, man. Also, walking in with a bedazzled star hoodie and call yourself Mr. New Jersey, we're like, it fits.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, I'm up. I'm supposed to get up. My lawyer just called. It's a true story. He goes, my lawyer just called. And I'm like, your lawyer? No, we don't have lawyers. We don't need a lawyer. He goes, no. Who's the booker? Just point me out the booker and I'll tell them. My lawyer, I got to get up. He's in the audience. I produce a lot of movies. And we're like, dude, okay, the booker's not here. We don't know what to do. He walks outside. He's having an argument with someone, yada, yada, yada. Comes back. He's like, nah, I'm going to get up. And I'm like, dude, I don't know who you are. And he walked in. He says to somebody, he goes, yo, you want to get drinks later? And the guy goes, yeah. So that when he leaves, I said to the guy, I'm like, you know him? He goes, no. Like, he just said, yeah, to get drinks to some guy who calls himself Mr. New Jersey. He's like, I don't know. He seemed cool. What's wrong with you? The guy leaves. He's not going to get up. So Harris Greenbaum walks in. And he goes, hey, did you guys see Mr. New Jersey? I'm like, are you part of the gag? And he goes, no. He was at Gotham. You know, that same gag worked. He did 5 minutes at Gotham.
Oh, my God.
It worked.
This is the entertainment industry that we're in. This is how we got this job.
We walked into FUBO like, no, my lawyer's outside. He works for the Stellar Group.
Turn the cameras on. We're good.
I'm a swear a bunch. Send me gifts.
This is why I love having a TV show for moments like this where we can.
What, did our direct deposit just hit?
No, I don't. I do this out of the goodness of my own heart.
Okay. Pay me double that.
We can when we're like in production meetings and we have production meetings. Trust me.
Wait, I must have missed these. Oops.
But we can be like, yo, we need to talk about this. This is important to us, and this is important to the culture of soccer. And recently, the Portland Timbers. Actually, we start with Netflix. Netflix, lovely service. I mean, Fubo TV is a little bit better, but
I completely agree. Fubo TV, the place to be, right?
And it rhymes too. Yeah. Fubo TV, the place to be.
That's right. We're gonna release a 1980s rap song about it.
Netflix,
cat's out of the bag.
Netflix put out a tweet basically saying, the theme that's been going on Twitter is like, what's the thing that you can say during sex and another thing,
right? We did one for watching Cooligans.
Yes,
right. We got a lot of people screaming, yeah, baby.
Yeah,
so a lot of fun.
Love you, thank you for that. Right. But Netflix did one for what can you tweet as a social media admin and also say during sex,
right?
So all these different companies. I mean, the synergy was incredible, right?
Because it was like a collab with every other major corporation. In the world. The only one I saw that went like too far was Mr. Peanut.
Oh, what did Mr. Peanut do?
Hold these nuts. And we were like, hey,
Mr. Peanut.
Wow.
Bold,
wow.
I must say.
Read the room, my guy.
But you love
a peanut company,
an MLS club got involved, and then they tweeted.
A couple did, but the best.
The best one.
The absolute best.
What's from the Portland Timbers?
Our homies over at the Portland Timbers. Shouts to Danny. Yo, we have two DP slots open.
So,
let me tell you something. The word slot just took on an entirely new definition.
Yeah, so obviously they mean designated player slot.
Yeah, they do. wink, wink.
Shout out to you, Portland Timbers social team, everybody. Kayla, Danny.
Printed it out.
Yeah.
Framed it. Danny deserves all the credit in the world. The fact that this was allowed to go out, look how far we've come. And sort of
was
American...
that one of your tweets for Netflix?
Just a picture of me pointing at the wall. God, that's a great. Thank you, Ron. But look how far we've come in how many years ago? Remember when we first talked about LA Galaxy putting out that shooting star meme and how they got in trouble by the league? And now we're just out here willy nilly making sexual innuendos.
It is the Wild West.
Pew, 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 pew. No more rules. MLS like, yo, do you, baby? Let's see what you got.
Okay, we're looking for traffic.
Yeah,
we don't care how we get it.
We need engagement, my guy. We need people to tap on that like button. So you do you.
So that we have to we had to highlight that because that was absolutely
highlighted. We should print it. We should put that on our jersey. You can't even see what this jersey says.
Sponsored by just the whole tweet.
Just that tweet. Yo, if y'all put out a hoodie with that tweet on it and we don't get one sent here, all hell will be raised when we go to Portland. And we're gonna rob some. We're gonna be like that dude, like Verhagen, dog. We're gonna tell you that we're a corporation to get you in, and then we're gonna rob that hoodie.
Exactly. All right. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was the award for Sports Person of the Year.
God bless.
Given to the queen herself, Megan Rapinoe.
Shouts to the president.
Sure. Megan I was just Rapinoe. Like, wait, who are you talking to exactly?
Megan Rapinoe, yo. Our president just made the sports person of the year.
That's right.
Look at her with the sledgehammer, the chromed out sledgehammer.
Hey.
Why even the sledgehammer gotta be fancy?
No, it's great because obviously this made so many people upset. Right.
Oh, that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah. This is why she was put on this planet for.
Yeah.
To make, conservative people angry.
Yeah. God bless.
Great. Love it. And there were just a slew of people accusing Sports Illustrated for honoring her and awarding her this award, saying it's part of the liberal agenda, which is.
I mean,
if it's just like it's so. Delicious to hear.
Yeah. It makes me happy to know that they're upset. Like, I remember when the first time, the previous time the women won the World Cup and they were having the parade in New York and the whole thing was about how it was costing $1.5 million mm-hmm. to do this parade. And I, for some reason, was in alternate side parking. My phone wasn't working. So I was listening to the radio, which you don't do, right? And sports radio was on. It was just a bunch of what I can only imagine are guys that work at delis calling up and going, why are we doing this? Who cares? World Cup, it's a bunch of women, yada, yada, yada. And I was just getting angry until I realized, like, wait a minute, this is dope. These dummies are upset. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, look, we got to interview Megan Rapinoe when we were in Charlotte. And
wait, hold on. The sports person of the year knows who we are.
The sports, yeah. I mean,
that's insane.
That's pretty wild. Georgia Mihailovic watches the show and the sports person of the year.
That's wild. If I find out that Verhagen listens, I mean, you know what I mean? I'm good. I mean, really? Can shut these cameras off, my guy.
We've accomplished everything we need.
Yeah,
all right. We'll be back with more right after this, everybody.
All right. This is exciting.
We are here.
We are joined by an esteemed guest.
Finally, we got some good defenders on this podcast / television show.
That's right. Because most of the time, you know, you go online, anytime anything ever happens, a goal is scored in MLS, everybody's like, oh, MLS defending or whatever. Right. But not this dude. MLS defending means a very different thing to this man.
Yes, he does. He'll run through a brick wall. He don't care. He's here for it. All right. Two-time Defender of the Year award.
That's right. Of Minnesota United.
Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Ike O'Para, everybody.
Ike, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, say it louder for the guys in the back so they know. Two times. Yeah. No.
Damn, no, you didn't wear, no, you're not up? Wearing what's your up? Headgear right now. What's going on?
I'm not. Hey, I'm giving a little bit of a break. I'm giving a little bit of a break.
You think we soft?
No, I need to let my hair breathe, you know? I got to let it breathe.
That's right. Those long locks, you love them. Ike, thanks so much for joining us, man. And not only are you two-time Defender of the Year, obviously play for Minnesota United, you play for a couple other clubs in MLS as well.
Couple other clubs. Some places you never heard of, but anyway, Minnesota United.
But you are also, I want to start because you are also getting in the podcast game, all right? Creeping into our business, all right? So I want to know how the podcast has been great. BSI, the podcast, if you haven't listened to it, check it out.
It's about time they put some respect on that name and change it to BSI.
Correct.
I like you guys.
How has that experience been for you? And you've never really done a podcast before or anything, right? That's my safe assumption. How's that experience been for you?
So, in fact check here, I actually did have a little bit of a podcast towards the end of my time in Kansas City.
Okay.
With the beat writer, yeah, Sam McDowell. We did more of like more social wear topics. And then obviously I've switched over to, you know, BSI the podcast, and that is completely different. You know, talking mostly about
roasting
stories.
Fools in the league. That's what that is.
Yeah. At some point, it's going to get us in trouble, but we're going to
round up. I'm surprised it hasn't. How have you not been fined by the league at this point?
I think a lot of the things that we talk about, you know, I think we're saying what a lot of people already know. You know, I think a lot of people are scared to say the things that everyone thinks, and we're just kind of like, you know what? We're going to give the edge, the attitude, the insight that, you know, fans don't necessarily get to hear. And, you know, I think just making it authentic and candid has been, you know, our biggest strength.
Yeah, because you guys aren't messy. You guys, you just not messy the player, messy like, you know, making a mess.
Definitely not him.
No, no, messing up your money. You're not like.
Listen, sometimes they make it hot. Sometimes they make it.
But
real
it's for, especially for MLS, there isn't, you know, there's not many alternatives, right? There aren't many opportunities to hear players talk candidly because for the most part, as an MLS player, you can live your life pretty anonymously, right? Depending on what city you play in, you'll be walking around. Nobody's like, who's this tall dude? He's just tall, right? Nobody thinks anything else of it.
You got to walk into like a Dick's Sporting Goods to start heading the ball around for people to. You got to get egregious with it.
I'm a stand at Dick's Sporting Goods. I don't really need to be in there. But to your point, I think there's several things that go into it. The first thing is, you know, a reporter could never ask you these questions. And as an athlete, you'd feel comfortable answering. And for so many reasons, and just having your peers, you know, asking you questions, kind of giving you the true locker room, feel, it just gives everyone kind of that laid back, approach. And it's kind of like a safe space, even though I know we're broadcasting it out. But it's just like, you know, we're in it together. And so we're never really trying to, you know, have malintentions or ulterior motives, you know, as we go about it. Maybe my plea to fifths, my interrogation can be a little tough.
That's when it gets hot. It gets hot there.
It can get hot. But ideally it's to lead you into stories that, you know, people have never heard. I mean, there've been times where I don't even know what's coming. And I think that's the beauty behind it is that we've let it be free flowing and we didn't really want constrictions. When we started out and, we're just evolving and going with it an episode at a time.
I think when you guys have broken news too, like Carlos Vela being looked at by Barcelona was something not a lot of people knew. And somehow you four guys on Skype get to break that news. And I'm like, yo, Christian, why aren't we asking Vela some tough questions? You guys have actually kind of overlapped a little bit about what we try to do, because when we started the podcast, we realized we knew there was personalities behind some of these players, but general, like sort of traditional media isn't getting that. So we as comedians, we can have a conversation like we're having with you now, which isn't very like, you know, cookie cutter, and you guys are doing the same thing. So it's actually, we're like actually happy and proud to see you there because we feel like we somehow begat a little bit of that. Just a little bit.
It's our show. Your show is our show.
We own your show now. I don't know if you understood what we're saying. We want a cut of the money.
Yeah, well, if you guys start helping us make money, then we're all in. It's funny too because Sal is like, we got to start making money now, this and that. And Benny are like, yo, chill, Sal. Like, we just did it to have fun. We didn't even know where this thing was going.
Sal is the Alexis of this show.
Well, it's a guy named Sal Zizzo. You expect one guy to be like, how do we make money on this? Well, all right, so there's going to be a VIG. We'll lend you $1,000, but you owe me $150 every week until you pay me that money back.
Pretty much. But now, now Benny's like, you know, he's trying to figure out his next movie. He's like, yo, we got to start making money on this too. I'm like, yo, you guys are sellouts. I'm in here for the love of the podcast. Fast forward a couple years when I'm out. Yeah.
You're doing it for the art, bro.
Let's do it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, luckily, when we started, we sold out ASAP. You know what I mean? Like right away, we was trying to get that cream. So it didn't matter.
You, what I do like, you've had some, and this is the cool thing about players doing a show is that you can, all you got to do is text one of your homies and be like, yo, you want to hop on? Because we have to go through loops of agents and
we've had to go to players' moms.
We had to go to a player's mom and be like, because she was in the stands and be like, yo, get your player on our show.
You looked at us like we nudged her in bed the next morning. No, we saw her in the stands.
Can you say said player? His name?
Oh, yeah, Jack Harrison. Jack Harrison.
His mom was in the supporter section.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we named the cheeseburger after him. We did everything we could to get this dude on. You ain't naming burgers after nobody.
Do you ever have to, like, because we have to kind of jump through the hoops, those hoops with teams and players. Like, obviously, you can just reach out to players, but do you ever get, like, agents being like, yo, stop reaching out to my guy, like, or whatever? Or is it, do you have to deal with those, like, walls at all?
No, but I will say the interesting thing is we'll have people reach out to us wanting to be on for whatever reason. And I think that that was the interesting thing was, you know, we have friends and colleagues, whatever that we played with, and we'd text them, get it sorted, go from there. But now we have guys that want to be on who have played, some even coaching. And it's like, what? Like, we didn't envision that at all. That's actually been pretty cool. Like,
that's great. That's just, it's a good sign though about the future of the show. You guys got a real future in it. All right.
And we of course got two-time defender of the year, Ike Opara, on with us. Ike, you play now for Minnesota United, signed a new contract, had a hell of a year, but it didn't end the way you probably wanted. Why don't you talk a little bit about sort of what that was like, sort of that run up to the playoffs and you know, sort of some of the letdown from the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, obviously it was an accomplishment in a way, you know, Minnesota getting to the playoffs after the years that we had endured. Luckily, I wasn't a part of those years. So
it's on them.
Yeah, I did big time. But, you know, but, you know, I think in a way it was, you know, a positive step in the right direction. Obviously, I have high expectations and, you know, I'm just happy with getting the playoffs, just, you know, based off of my career and what I've accomplished and been a part of teams. And so just getting to the first round was a letdown, but, you know, I think that's still pretty cool to be able to say that we got to host a, you know, our home playoff game in that stadium with that fan base who had been dying for, you know, success, you know, the first 2 years, and to be able to at least play a game in front of them and the energy that was going on in that stadium, it was incredible.
And you had to, in that playoff game, you had to play against Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I mean, you've talked about it a little bit on your show. I mean, but what's it like playing against this? I mean, he's a larger than life human being, right? It's like, I can imagine there is the annoyance of like, yo, he talks all this garbage. And then you play him and he's like, yo, he's mad big. I understand why he talks all that garbage.
I just feel like two large shoulders and a ponytail are coming at me.
Going up against a dude like that, what is it like? And how do you even prepare for something like that?
Listen, yeah, if you show any sign of weakness with that guy, he's going to try to eat you alive. So, you know, for me, it's like, okay, I'm getting a little older to the point where I don't really want to get into the, you know, the trash talking anymore. When I was younger, I'd run my mouth a little bit and I would have gotten into it with them. But now I just try to focus on, you know, the game. Yeah, I know there's a little bit game within the game moments that happen, but you got to just prepare because, you know, end of the day, you know, his whole goal is to just score. And as soon as he scores, he starts running his mouth. So really, you just got to really, you know, play at another level, especially, you know, with how my game is. You know, I match up pretty well with him on aerial duels and whatnot. And so it was more so, you know, locking into those moments, those key moments when really the Galaxy whips in a billion crosses. So, you know, when those moments are coming into the game, you know, having awareness where he is.
Yeah, and I'm curious how you were the two-time defender of the year, right? So how do you become the defender of the year, right? Because when I look at Ike Opara, I'm like, this dude is one of the nicest guys I've ever met, right? You think of a defender of the year being like this beast angry human being that really mushes everybody out of the way. But you're like a cerebral dude, right? You approach the game, I think, a little bit differently than just being a big, like, you know, English bruiser.
He becomes an asshole during the 90s, in the 90 minutes, right? That's how you do it, right?
Not necessarily.
I think he's remixing his own answer.
Exactly. No, I would say with Christian there, I'm more cerebral. I mean, I can do all those things, right? I could be the asshole. I could be tough. But like at the end of the day, I've just learned, you know, being on the Pee Ver Meese and Sporting Kansas City was the biggest development for my career, and being able to just read the game, being cerebral, understanding, you know, what's going on for 90 minutes with my position, other positions, thinking through the game in so many ways. I mean, I'm, at the end of the game, I'm way more exhausted mentally than physically at this point. And that's a good thing, you know? So, you know, I think that's what I've strived to do over the last handful of years.
Whenever a goal gets put in and you got Vito Minone or something, every time they put the camera on the goalkeeper, he's usually yelling at the center back, right? Like, it's never the goalkeeper's fault, right? No goalkeeper will answer this, but what are they saying to you?
You know, first of all, there's no glory for defenders. Let's just be clear. Like,
yeah,
there could be a goal scored and that play could have been, you know, put out 20 passes in advance. Like, there were several things that could have happened. But that being said, when a goalie starts losing it, half the time I just don't even listen, because it's like, what am I going to say now? Like, if it's a clear mistake on the defender, then there's nothing really to be said. It's like, yeah, I know that I shorted the back pass. Like, yeah, I get it. But like, other than that, it's like, you know, you have to try to dissect really a whole breakdown of a play, and you don't have enough time to do that. And so it's more so about the nonverbal look of it than
Looks says it all. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Every now and again, like, there's something that can be said that's worthwhile, but most of the time it's just frustrated, and that's the way of showing it.
Okay.
He's like, you let it go. And you're like, I know, I'm here.
I saw what you saw.
Yeah, my man's right. Running around me celebrating.
Pretty much. Yeah. Can't do anything about it now.
You ever think about tripping one of those guys when they're running around celebrating? You know what I mean? Right? Just a nice slide tackle, 2 foot them during the celebration. No.
Might be an issue.
I think the one that gets me the most is when you've had a forward in your back pocket for literally 89 minutes and the 90th minute or whatever, he scores a goal and he runs around acting like he had the best game in the world. Yeah. And you're just like,
really? Literally, fam?
You didn't have anything all game and you looked as a hero. And it's like, and then you look at, like, you let it in and you're the bad guy. And it's like, that's the frustrating part. Like, yeah, then I don't want to 2 foot somebody, but
you do make that point about like defenders don't get any glory. And I would even go further than that. And I think MLS defenders get even sort of less recognition and acknowledgement because just in the way the teams are set up, right? It seems like the defenders are the last thought. Like, let's put all the money up front and then we'll figure it out when it comes to defenders. But how do you what is your effort to kind of stake that claim and being like, yo, let's give some the American defender some love and some respect and maybe a little bit of higher praise, even amongst like in the international market?
Right. Yeah. If you look at it, you know, just based off of, you know, the finalists and defender of the years over the last, I don't know, 6-7 years, 50% or more are typically Americans. And that says something. You know, I think that that's the frustrating thing is that, you know, especially when dealing with contracts in this league and whatnot, that the Americans are overlooked, undervalued in so many ways. And that's, you know, the disrespect that a lot of Americans, especially defenders, feel is that, you know, you see teams now bringing in some more European defenders, and whether that means they're better or not, that's a huge argument for discussion.
Yeah.
They're cashing out in a way. And so, you know, American defenders especially want to get involved. Americans in general want to get involved in that. But the defenders is, you know, the last looked at kind of thing. And so it's frustrating, you know, when you just look at, you know, what we have been able to do in terms of MLS and, you know, trying to, you know, break that stigma as a whole.
We are here with Ike Opara of Minnesota United, and we're gonna do a little game.
Oh yeah,
with Ike, because
when we invented ourselves.
Because Ike, he is the curator of this particular segment,
right?
On his show on BSI, the podcast.
We named ours a little differently.
Yes, because he does plead the fifth.
Right.
Where he asks players about, you know, he asks them questions.
Five, like, difficult questions.
Yes. Right. But we're going to do plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth.
The fifth. Okay.
It's a little different. We're going to ask you five questions.
That might be a little, be a little bit difficult to answer.
We're here to ruin contracts.
Exactly. Ruin his money.
That's right.
Right. So, yes. So first, Ike, we have to ask, please answer as honestly as you can, or don't answer at all. The worst part about playing for Minnesota United. Go for it.
Oh, gosh. Hey, you guys, I got copyrights on the interrogation at BSI the podcast.
No, that's
you
why we renamed it.
Fifth. It's different. Fifth. Yeah,
Dave Chappelle, huh?
All yeah, right, and also it's not called plead; it's plea the fifth. We like our uncles would say, "Oh yeah, plead the fifth."
Okay, plead the fifth. All right, worst part about playing for Minnesota United
or Minnesota?
Yeah,
just the worst part about playing in Minnesota.
The obvious question or the obvious answer is the cold.
Cold as hell.
Minnesota.
And honestly, I don't mind the cold that much. It's just we're just indoors for like 3 months to start the season, and that's tough. Like training on turf indoors can be a drag.
Switching that to the outside is a little bit difficult.
It can be for sure. But you know, I don't mind playing games on turf really. But training on turf every day can be it's not ideal.
Okay.
All right. I got one for you. What is the biggest complaint you would have about having to play for Peter Vermees?
The biggest complaint.
I mean, we know he's a tough dude. He's a tough coach to play for. You got to have something.
He's very authoritative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just that he's like, when you answer those interview questions, you're like, I just worked.
Yeah, what is that?
That's it. He traded me.
That is an official complaint.
Peter Vermees. Okay, you put that in the complaint box.
Yeah. Why is this a shredder?
Okay, how about this? The dumbest comment you've ever heard while playing with your head guard.
Not from a player, but like I'll have a fan say some nonsense like, like something along the lines of like, that's stupid headband. They're like you're soft or something like that. And I'm like, what?
Because you don't want to get concussions. Why you are such a punk, dog?
Why you want to remember your name when you're 50? My right,
exactly. Like, and I'm like, so do you want me to like speak mush and be able to like roll over and forget where I live and my social security number?
Thinking your wife is an intruder every morning. Right.
Yeah. It's like I wish I could slap you with this headgear kind of thing, but
dude, you should. I just keep it moving. Next question we have. This is the fourth out of the five. We have one DP defender that you're better than and deserve more money than. Yes. How's it feel to be on that side of this?
Are you gonna answer or plead the fifth?
Please be a player on your team.
I want to answer them all.
No, you have a name.
Let's go to question five before I come back.
Okay.
I want to answer this one, but I'm like.
Okay. Good. You mull it over. All right. Why have you been so neglected by the U.S. men's national team? You only got one cap. Can you explain that?
So it's funny that you say this because I almost tweeted the other day. I just forgot to hit the send button that I was going to announce that I was going to announce my international retirement via Twitter. And as a joke, but like kind of out of seriousness, because like at this point, I don't know. At this point, I don't care. You know, it is what it is. I've been overlooked. Sure, health was it, you know, a while ago, but now over the last handful of years, you know, there's kind of no excuse. Let me backtrack, actually. I understand it because, you know, they didn't qualify for the World Cup and then the youth movement came in and yada, yada, yada. But now that they're, you know, they're starting to get into some serious games, you're starting to see some, you know, the youth, but you start to see experience as well, some older guys, and you're like, you know, that's kind of weird. But, you know, I think really I don't really care anymore at this time. It's, you know, if I get the call, great. If I don't, I'm going to carry on living my life.
Okay, that's fair.
All right.
All right. So
so we just have one.
That last one, the other one.
One sort of just dangling out there.
I mean, it's on you. You don't have to, but I mean, whatever.
I mean, I can't believe you wouldn't do this when you expect other players to do it. But no, go ahead. To remind the audience, one DP defender that you're better than and deserve more money than.
I've got like six names, but I can't do it. I want to do it, but I can't do it.
All good. All right, Kofaro, I'm mad at myself. Thank you so much.
How about this? When we get off air, you tell us one, and we'll tell our Gully Squad members, which is those are our paid subscribers, just the one, and we'll make sure they keep it secret. Sound good?
That's putting a lot of trust in a lot of people. Kofaro, thank you so much for joining us, man. We appreciate you. Make sure everyone tune in to BSI, the podcast. It's a great podcast.
Subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. Say this is almost as good as Cooligans.
that's all you got to do.
Refer the Cooligans, you'll get a gift card from us, all right?
Oh, look at that. Hey. Kofaro, thank you so much for joining us. And everybody, we'll be right back, guys.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors, LBF.
Live, Breathe Football.
Live, Breathe Football.
A lovely soccer clothing brand.
That's right. It's all cut and sew, man. This guy's making clothing specifically for you. You tell him who you are and he'll make you clothes. No, I'm joking. But what he does is he doesn't just go out and buy a bunch of hoodies and print stuff on it. What he does, he actually designs the hoodie, designs the jacket. He's designed stuff for Sporting Kansas City, Portland Thorns. He's got just a regular dope clothing brand all on his own. He's got new stuff coming out. He opened up a store in England. Who are you to not buy this stuff?
Yeah, who are you?
What are you? Are you special?
Just the disrespect.
Wow. Like, we can hear it from this show. You know what I mean? But you got to check it out. Go to libreefootball.com. Check out his stuff. Check him out on Instagram. The stuff's amazing. And it's not just that. We're going to give you a discount.
Exactly. If you use the promo code GULLIUS, you will get 15% off your first order.
That's right. So, you know, the holidays are coming up. You'll fill that shopping cart up, my guy. You're going to get 15% off. Put in GULLIUS. And then he's going to send you like all the clothes you ordered. And he's like, and you're going to be like,
Sure. I guess a traditional business transaction. Yeah. Like this. Yeah, I don't know.
Right? I mean, that's how it used to happen in the olden days, right?
You back. And now transaction completed.
Yeah, at the apothecary, you would go in and be like, He's like, no, I see your ailment, my dude. And he will make it for you. Same thing as what LBF doing.
Exactly. So make sure go to livebreathefootball.com. And the football is spelled the Spanish way, F-U-T-B-O-L.
I believe you mean the correct way, F-U-T-B-O-L.
Ooh. All right. Mary, and use that promo code GULLIUS. We are here back again. Crazy. Thursday. The third is December.
Yeah.
Man.
2019.
Bro. Yo, it's a month.
Wow.
one of the craziest.
That's right. We took drugs before the show started. And we're surprised. That's where this show came from. This is the loudest thing I've ever worn on this show.
Okay, that's right.
You're louder than me.
Yes, we got to turn on the volume on the shirt.
Yeah, shouts to Talisman for the drip that my wife is going to hate. Welcome. But I'm still wearing it.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. He's Christian Polanco. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Okay. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you've ever seen in your life.
That's right. Those are facts. But it's not just that. It's also the gulliest. Yeah.
that's me letting people know how gully
the gully is. You like an upset girlfriend. Okay. You don't stop it no more.
I'm just hyping Alexis up right now.
Yeah. I thought you were cutting. I thought you were going cut on the show.
Can we do that?
Yeah. We need a director now. We the captain of the ship now.
So hello, thank you for tuning in. We're excited to welcome our guest that we have.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was just gonna be us chit chatting, but somebody else sitting on this couch.
Imagine we didn't address him for 60 minutes over him
for an hour.
Thank you for showing up.
All right, yo, good times, man.
Now go home.
We'll tag you in all this. Now we're super excited to have this guy on. We were hanging out in Germany with this. We flew us out to Germany. No, we were hanging out in Germany. We've been seeing this dude at every major soccer sporting event since we started, and no one has been more supportive than this guy. At least telling us to go for it. He's never written an article about us or anything, but he's always been telling us to keep going. Mostly because I think he knows we annoy everyone.
Yeah,
else.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's just put your hands together for the one, the only Ivis Galarsip, everybody.
Ivis, what's up, man?
Thanks for having me. I think I'm glad I wore black to kind of balance out the color here.
Yeah, when they do the wide on the two of us, it's going to be kind of a juxtaposition.
Ivis, thank you for joining us. Yes, and we should talk about the fact that, we were hanging out in Germany together. And for us, and Alexis did mention, like, we had seen you in a lot of MLS events. We went to, like, we started going to, like, MLS Cup in 2016 and being sort of around a lot of the journalists. And when we met you, we were like, this is a serious journalist guy, right? Like, we've read your articles for years. We never met you in person. But that was, like, one of the things where, like, when we were around a lot of journalists, we were like, oh, these people don't respect us, right? Because we're comedians. Yeah. They are journalists. They're like, and the American soccer journalism space is fairly small. The community is small.
Very insulated.
Everybody knows each other. But then when two comedians come rolling around with their stupid jokes,
we're doing bits, like a couple of ha-has, and they take their jobs very seriously. So, and then there's you, who I think appreciated some of the ha-has, you know, at least from the up jump.
And then in Germany, we got to actually, like, hang out. And so that was, like, a good experience. And I'm glad we got to do that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that trip to Germany definitely opened my eyes a little bit and getting to know you guys and know that how serious you guys are about this, because being in the game for 20 years, I've seen a lot of guys come and go who aren't serious, and it's easy to write those guys off, but getting to, you know, see that you guys are really serious about actually learning the sport and not just cracking jokes, it definitely put you in a different light for me. So.
Right, which goes to show how good we are at lying, right? Like, we're able to hide the fact that we're here to just crack jokes.
So you got catfished, Ivis. Yeah. I mean, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, we don't know nothing about the sport. Why don't they pick the ball up, Ivis? You tell me.
But no, you have been around the game for a long time, and what I love, when especially talking to you, we were hanging out with, like, Steve Cherundolo, and then you would be like, oh, in 2003, I was, I went to this game and saw Steve, and I was like,
well, like, oh. Steve will say something like, oh, you know what happened in this game, or, like, in the locker room, and you'd be like, yeah, I was 2 feet away from you in 2001 when that happened, and we'd be like, damn, yo.
Yeah, so it's, like, one of these things where American soccer journalists are very, like, under the radar. Nobody knows the hard work that they're doing to kind of publicize the game, but you're, like, one of these people that have been around the game a long time and are responsible for kind of broadcasting it to other people, but nobody really knows who you are.
Well, part of it is being old. So I know you guys are, like, dancing around that, but I am pretty old. I've been doing it for 20 years, and it's crazy.
You started when you were six. Yeah, so, like, the guy just, you know what I mean? He's stressed.
He's a prodigy.
A lot of dyeing the hair and all that. But it's crazy when you, as the time goes by and you see someone like a Steve Cherundolo. I remember when he was a kid on the 2002 World Cup team, like a late addition, and he was kind of a babe in the woods. And now he's a legendary former player, already gone through that cycle. So one of the cool things about putting that time in is seeing people kind of evolve and pass through and building those relationships with those people who know you've been in the game that long, and it just, nothing beats that kind of time when you have that time and that kind of reputation. So.
And what was the thing that kind of catapulted you in, like, was your interest in U.S. men's national team, in MLS, in American soccer in general? Like, what was the thing that got you going and interested in the topic to begin with?
Well, my background's Peruvian, so there was always soccer in the family, in the household. I actually played American football growing up. I played in high school and college, but my first job out of college was at a small newspaper in New Jersey, and the soccer beat came open, covering the Metro Stars, and it just so happens that a a friend of mine from college was drafted by the MetroStars and was on the team. So I told the editor, I said, hire me. I know someone on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, and the rest was kind of history. I started covering the team, the Herald News,
hey,
and
the News.
Tiny newspaper in Passaic County. And, you know, I just got lucky. And just being covering the MetroStars, everyone that came through there from, you know, Tim Howard, Bob Bradley, Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, Bruce Arena, you name it, who's who of American soccer came through there. And I was there from 1999, and just building those relationships, it kind of just took off from there.
And what do you think is the reason for your longevity? Because you mentioned it before, people on our end, or that are trying to do kind of something similar to what we do, come and go. And we're dedicated to staying here. You know, my wife, my accountant, my landlord, they've all begged us to stop. But, you know, we're dedicated to stay here, and we're trying to find more and more ways to sort of make it work. But, you know, we walked in at an era where the business is starting to kind of take off a little bit. You struggled through the parts of where the league was about to close, and how could this happen? What do you think you owe your longevity to?
Adapting. I think it's been adapting. I was a newspaper reporter for 10 years, and about 7 years in, I kind of got a sense that things were not heading in a good direction in newspapers. And that's when I quit and launched my own website, which was at the time definitely a scary and a bit of a definitely a risky proposition. At the time, there weren't a lot of people doing that then. I was kind of one of the early ones to do it. And making that jump at the time that I made it helped me kind of ride a wave and get through some things. And it's all about being able to adapt. And I'm kind of going through that again now with another, you know, evolution and trying to work my way into video and that kind of thing. So the game evolves and media evolves, and that's kind of just trying to figure out what's the next wave, pretty much the way to kind of keep it going.
Yeah, there must have been newspaper people are like, hey, Ivis, you're crazy. All right, newspapers, well, yeah. This isn't going to go anywhere.
Nobody wants to read off the screen. They want to hold it in their hand. What do you mean I don't have a job? Ivis, you have sort of this odd relationship with players. Like when I see you talk to a player that you've met before, you know, they have a warm relationship with you, but you still are like a traditional journalist, and where you sometimes kind of have to call them out or talk about some of the, like them playing badly. How do you do that balance? Cause we're very different. We're comedians. Like we're never really going to go at them that way. You know what I mean? We're just here to pop jokes. Like if they play badly, we make a joke of it and it kind of gets forgiven. You're a little different. You're breaking down how they play badly. Like how do you manage to sort of keep the really, because one of the things that I think I really sort of have gotten to see over time and recognize is like, man, he's really good at sort of being like a friend of these guys.
Yeah, it can definitely be tough the more you're around players, and they definitely read everything. And one thing I've learned through the years is coaches take criticism a lot better than players do, because a coach, you can rip. I mean, I've had coaches that I've absolutely shredded, and they'll be like nothing happened, and they get it. You know, generally, they get that it's the job. Players sometimes it's like, you know, you'll be dead to them. I mean, I remember years ago I wrote a column critical of Amaro Guevara, who I had been, you know, I was very cool with it, but when he came back to MLS, I kind of wrote about why the team shouldn't have brought him back and everything. And the next time we were in a mix zone after a Honduras Mexico game, he like stopped his interview session when he saw me, and he's like, I'm not going to talk until he leaves.
Whoa.
And I just like laughed at him and then left. And then the next time I saw him was in Toronto at an MLS game, and he gave me a hug. So it's like
he's bipolar.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Pretty much. So it can
well,
be
maybe it was just the free healthcare where he was like a little bit more comfortable. Yeah.
When it comes down to it, you just have to be honest. And I think as much as a player at the moment might be pissed off that you criticize them, I think deep down they know if you're honest or not. And I think there's a line between being kind of critical and also kind of being like maybe overboard and maybe like taking personal shots and that kind of
or
thing.
Mean-spirited. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to. Cause I mean, there's definitely been players who I know at the time were super, super upset, but years later they'll be like, oh no, you were right. It was time for me to retire, or it was, you know, or this and that, yeah, that kind of thing. So I think they get it at the end of the day. And it also, when people see that you're just straight up, that shows everywhere, and people realize like, okay, like he's straight up, he's honest. So.
Yeah. And you've seen the U.S. men's national team program specifically throughout the years. And I just kind of, if we can, you know, give some sort of synopsis of what's going on right now, because it seems like it's at its oddest, where obviously missing a World Cup,
is in, especially in your time, is unique. And that response to it is also a thing we're all kind of figuring out for the first time on how to criticize it and also how to, you know, how to support it as well. But your sort of thoughts of these last like 2-3 years of what has been, you know, from the coaching, you know, how long it took to get a coach and all these other issues and how the program is being run. What is like the starkest difference from your the earlier years to now?
Well, I think it's really just kind of been a perfect storm of crap in a certain way, because you had missing the World Cup.
A shit storm, so to speak.
Yeah, there you go. You say a shit storm. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was, I didn't know it was a PG show. Actually, I have watched it.
Say whatever the hell you want, baby. Right.
Yeah, no. So it's been a bit of a shit storm, but it's not making the World Cup. And also a team that was kind of going through a cycle in terms of players where an older generation moved on. When you talk about guys like Clint Dempsey, Landon Donovan, who carried the program for so long. So you don't make the World Cup. U.S. fans have PTSD now from that whole experience. Yeah. So now everything anything that looks negative or anything that looks like it isn't progress, it just sets people off. And that's why now there are these, like, for me, I think slightly overboard reactions to you know, what are natural steps for a team that's in transition, for a team that's integrating a young generation and a young coach, who we all know had never coached a national team before. So the fact that people are kind of freaking out because this coach who's never coached a national team before is having some growing pains, I think you understand it, because that pain of missing the World Cup is still so fresh. But at the same time, for me, like, I'm not as emotionally tied into it. So I kind of see it from the outside, and I'm not ready to jump on him just yet, Greg Berhalter. I think, you know, we'll see in 2020 really what he's doing with this program. So that's
right. You heard it here first, Greg Berhalter. Ivis is taking his time before he decides if he's going to jump you or not. I'm joking. He is from Jersey. I gotta tell you. Watch out, Greg. We only kidding, Berhalter. But here's a question. I think part of the reason why I think the fans are having such a visceral reaction to every little thing that's happening is because the one thing that has been begged for by either MLS fans or just men's national team fans, or really U.S. soccer fans in general, is more transparency. And for whether it's good or bad reason, it seems like Ernie Stewart has sort of taken a sort of like entrenching himself even further into the lack of transparency. And now it almost seems like it's secretive, everything that's happening. And like, there's no one hears from anyone and no one knows what's happening. And I think that adds to the frustration. I can understand why they do that, because they decide, like, let's keep it all in house and figure it out on our own before we go out. But also, it seems like fans are upset and nothing's happening. In your time, have you ever seen it be this way? It seems like this is the most sort of NSA like that we've had it in a while.
There definitely is this kind of trust us, we know what we're doing attitude. And it's like the worst possible time to have that attitude when people are still so, that emotion is so raw from missing the World Cup. If anything, now is the time when you need to be a bit more transparent. And, you know, we had a chance to talk to Ernie Stewart down in Florida, and just some of the things that he was saying, I'm kind of like, man, like, how, like, you know, I get it if you think you see progress deep down, but like he was just like some of the things he said, I as he's saying them, I'm like, ooh, that's, people are gonna people are not gonna like what they're hearing from him. And you know, see, so I agree with you. I think there definitely needs to be more transparency, and you can't just ignore the fact that they didn't hire a coach for a whole year. And that just added to that angst. It added to the negative feelings of missing the World Cup. So for the U.S. soccer and for the leadership to kind of just expect people to ignore that, like, I think that's a little unreasonable.
What was the sort of general, I don't know if it's consensus is not the word, but like the approach to journalism pre-Twitter, right? Because we're more aware of all this angst and all these issues and all the criticism because we're being inundated with it. Does it feel, is it an echo chamber where it's just a couple of people kind of screaming loudly, or is it even before Twitter, before social media, were these kinds of criticisms also available to us?
Well, I think if you want to go back 10, 15, 20 years, Big Soccer, the message board, was probably where you saw that kind of...
Speaking of a shitstorm.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where the negativity could be found. And now, obviously, with social media, everyone can go on and express their frustrations. And there's definitely valid feelings there, and people have a right to feel upset about certain things, but it can get overboard and people can. It's crazy now. You see like just very simple like tweets by U.S. Soccer just saying whatever. And then the comments are just like, this is just killing it. And it doesn't even like happy birthday. Happy birthday to this guy. He should die.
He don't deserve cake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Jesse's artist got a happy birthday. And it's like, I had to read the comments because I knew it was just going to be. And it's just because, and that's not, I wouldn't say 90% of the U.S. national team fans feel that way, but you know, whatever percent, that small percent is definitely out there and they're vocal on social media.
And all Jesse does is score a bunch of goals all the time.
Every time he gets.
And everybody's still upset.
He's the nicest guy, the most hated guy. It'd be one thing if he were like a jerk, then he'd be like, okay, yeah, everyone hate him, but he's like the nicest guy. So it's such a weird kind of difference there.
Well, get some tougher skin, start being a jerk.
No, we're still here with Ivis Galarcep of SBIsoccer.com. Ivis, you are a person who, especially you have an Americans Abroad piece. So you are regularly, you're always checking to see what all the young Americans are doing all over the world.
I thought I was just writing about us being in Germany. Ryan,
well, that was that.
Here's what Alexis ate.
What was
pounds of pork?
Yeah. What would have been the recap of our time in Germany? Wow. If
no goals, 15 pounds of pork and 2 gallons of beer. I think.
Nice.
No, I don't. Not what Serginho Dest did. I'm talking about. Okay. No, you do follow a lot of the players, and that's why I love your website because you can stay up to date with a lot of that stuff.
You don't have to watch all those leagues. Like you get a bit of a synopsis.
So I want to sort of just talk about the Serginho Dest decision. Taking his talents to the U.S. men's national team.
The U.S. was his destiny.
A couple of them. Maybe we can go through a few. Your thoughts on Serginho Dest and the fact that he made the decision.
I thought he wasn't going to choose the U.S. at all.
Yeah, there was definitely that sense from the outside. But when you look at his career and the way it went, I mean, the Dutch didn't know anything about him really when he was coming up. And he was on the U-17 team. And I remember seeing him on U-17s and thought this kid has some serious ability. And then just him, you could see how close he was with the U-20 group. I was down there for CONCACAF qualifying that tournament in where you guys are headed, actually, Bradenton.
Yeah.
And you could tell already then that group was so tightly knit. And I really think that's what did it. That's ultimately what kind of convinced him, even after the Dutch national team came into the picture, he had built those relationships with that U-20 group and they went to the U-20 World Cup together. And I think when he really thought about it, he thought like, who, you know, this is the group that I'm going to spend my career with. And as much as the U.S. isn't the Netherlands, this U.S. group, this U-20 group could do something special down the road. And I'm sure his guys told him that. I'm sure Chris Richards, Alex Mendez and Chris Kloster, I'm sure all those guys were kind of like, listen, we got something special here. You could be part of it. And it also means something, the fact that the U.S. believed in him early on and gave him those opportunities. And I give him, you know, I respect him for sticking with the program that gave him his chance.
Why is it that the U.S. can find kids that are being sort of looked past by other nations, but not find those same kids here? Because when Christian Pulisic wrote that sort of story for Players Tribune, you should have had him write it for SBI Soccer. But he said that there was a lot of talent that's being overlooked. Why is that still so much of an issue here?
Oh man, that's the $1 million question. I'd be running in. I'd have an academy director job, I think, if I could answer that one. But it's, I mean, part of it, I think, is you haven't had that quality in leadership to be able to identify talent. I think now you're seeing more of that kind of talent develop, and you're also seeing people coming from Europe coming over here and getting jobs and to help run academies and help identify talent. There's definitely segments of the population that are being overlooked. We've heard all about the Latino population and why the people that look like us and that grew up where we grew up. That's kind of the untapped resource.
Let me just say, anyone who looks like me, you don't have a shot. I'm professional soccer.
Just give up right now.
Yeah. Buddy, get into making sandwiches.
And that's what's crazy about this country is like in the other kind of the big soccer countries, the kids from the poor backgrounds are the ones who go on to be the stars. Here, you, as Zlatan Ibrahimovic said recently, like you almost have to be rich to be able to afford to have your kids play soccer. So those are issues that need to be addressed. And once I don't have the answer to that, but hopefully as academies improve, as MLS and I think MLS has to be at the forefront of that, of building better academies and doing a better job of identifying talent, not just the talent that can afford $3,000, $4,000 to play youth soccer, but also going into New York City, into Newark, into, you know, those communities where they haven't been looking hard enough and finding that talent.
Yeah, nice. It's a generally a frustrating thing. I mean, we've talked about it for years, but yeah, like, that's the kind of the main thing. Like, nobody,
let us be scouts.
You know what? No, that's not.
Wow. We haven't even got an offer yet. You're already making it easy for them to negotiate.
We're not qualified for the job.
You saw us in Germany, right? If there's a kid anywhere beyond pork, I'll see him. You know?
Near pork. Or
find some young comedic talent. No question.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
But the kid's got bits.
Another person I wanted to talk about was Gio Reyna, who is now with Borussia Dortmund. And he was just on the squad recently.
Looking incredible, by the way.
So when we were in Germany, you were talking a lot about Claudio Reyna, and who's related to Gio Reyna. That's supposed to be a joke, anyway. But he left NYCFC he wasn't transferred to Dortmund. He just left on a free, I guess, because they didn't sign him. But he was with the academy. I guess the main question is, like, it seems like they left on bad terms, right? Is that safe to say or no?
I don't think it was necessarily bad terms. I mean, I think he just made the decision that he made to go to Dortmund to continue his development. And Dortmund, obviously, when you look at European academies, I mean, they're at the top. Or you could argue they've been the best in recent years at producing young talent. So I don't think anyone could knock him for making that decision to go there and play in that setup. I'm sure NYCFC wasn't happy about it. I'm sure City Football Group wasn't happy about it, sure, because now here's a player that, you know, they could have kept in their system, and with his talent maybe one day could have gone straight to Man City instead of them now having to spend 70 million in 3 years for him. So I'm sure from that standpoint they weren't happy. But Claudio Reyna was in that weird position of, I'm the dad, but I'm also running the team at the time. So that had to be a weird spot for him. But he's a dad, he's going to do what's best for his kid, and kid wanted to go to Europe, and you can totally see why he did it. And looking at already what he's done in this year and change that he's been there, it's clearly been the right decision. I mean, no one can knock it. He's a special talent. I mean, he is that when you talk about the teenagers that coming up, I mean, he is that next, most likely to be the next Pulisic, because everyone's talking about Christian Pulisic and who's going to be the next one. Yeah. Not to put all the pressure on him and say he's going to be as good, but if anyone right now coming up is going to be the next one, he's the leading candidate.
What position would he play at the national team? Any idea?
He'd probably be on the wing. Yeah. I actually asked Greg Berhalter about him back in May. I had a sit down with Berhalter, and it's a unique situation because Berhalter and Claudio Reyna are like long time close, super tight friends. So he's known Gio since he was a baby, and he knows he has talent there. So, but again, you have to take your time, and you're not going to rush him in. He hasn't played for the first team yet, but the talent is there. Anyone who's seen the clips of him with the U19s, you know that something is special there. And if you want to feel really old, consider the fact that the 2002 World Cup, where the U.S. made the run to the quarterfinals, Gio Reyna was in his mom's belly in South Korea. So he was actually there at the World Cup in 2002. Makes me just feel it super old. Yeah. He's already been to the World Cup.
Yeah, he's ready for the World Cup. You know, they say, like, you play like classical music to the belly. You know what I mean? He was out here listening to the U.S. just winning some games. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But playing pretty well.
Wow. I did not expect Gio Reyna to be at a World Cup before Christian Pulisic.
Yeah.
pretty shocked.
There you go. Right. His mom's belly did not qualify for the flight. SBISoccer.com, SBI YouTube channel. Check him out. Tweet at him, say some wild stuff. He'll respond back.
He loves that. It's his favorite thing.
We mentioned it before, but we got to hang out a little bit in Germany. And, you know, sort of we had met you before, but that was the first time that we really got like immersed. Like we hung out. We went to multiple cities. We were taking trains and stuff together. What was that experience like for you? Because you had been to those before. We had never been.
Yeah, no, this trip was for me, it was a special trip, not just because everything we got to see, but hanging out with you guys and the Total Soccer Show guys who I hadn't got to know before. And you've also probably put some years in my life by giving me some advice.
I was smacking cigarettes out of his hand.
I said, put the pipe down. Yeah. But it was one morning. It was like the first morning we were in Germany, and I'm like struggling with the jet lag, and I'm like looking for coffee. And I made a mention how I usually microwave my milk or something when I have coffee. And Alexis was like, never microwave milk. And then after that, it just stayed in my head. I literally have not microwaved liquid since then. So
yeah, what I told them is I don't think I've ever told you this before. They did a study where they microwaved water and let it cool back down until it was the same temperature as room temperature water. And they fed different plants with the microwaved water and one with the regular water. And the microwaved water killed the plants because there's less nutrients when you microwave.
Okay.
So I was telling him, I'm like, you got an oven? And he's like, yeah. I was like, you got a stovetop? It's like, yeah. I'm like, well, then stop microwaving your liquids. Just put it in a pan, a pot.
Okay.
And as soon as it bubbles, it's hot enough for your coffee. You're good. Just like our grandparents used to do.
Boiling milk every day now, thanks to
the thing. Right, my man's boiling milk. Okay. And it makes it sweeter, does it not?
It's better. Yeah. I'll give you that.
I don't really expect Alexis to give health advice to anyone. Exactly. Anything about nutrition. Yeah.
He said this before I watched him eat. And then after seeing the pork, I wouldn't have listened to him if he said it after that.
I got a pork knuckle in my mouth. I'm like, you know what you should do? Stop microwaving.
You didn't start exercising, bro.
You thought about crunches. Speaking of crunches, I think I've been through the bone. All right. And then, by the way, like 3 hours after this conversation, me and the dude from Bleacher Report, Sam, we ordered the trough of pork. Mm-hmm. That the guy was like, you know, this price is per person. Is this for three people? Like, nah, we'll take it down.
Yeah,
we did a pretty good job.
It was practically a whole pig in a pot, and they ate like the whole thing.
One of the things listed was many different sausages, and we ate them all, baby. The blood ball, the meatball made of blood was a little much, but everything else was pretty great.
Oh, that's when they took it too far.
Yeah, well, they did put the whole pig in there. I mean, it was pretty great. You mentioned before about like sort of how you have to adapt a little bit, right? What are you seeing in the sphere now? When you started your own website, Twitter became like the big hot thing. Seems like Instagram. Are you going to get on TikTok next? You're going to be doing the dance videos?
I want to see some Ivis Galarsip makeup tutorials.
Yeah. Lip sync to your favorite Vapor Trap song.
I'll tell you what. One thing I've learned is that like, you definitely need to adapt. You also have to if I'm old, so I'm not going to, Instagram, I'm definitely trying to use Instagram more, but it's funny, I have a 6-year-old son and he kind of makes fun of me when I tell him like, yeah, I'm doing YouTube now, I'm doing Instagram. He's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you trying to? I'm like, that's just the way it's going. But I mean, you do have to kind of adapt, but you also have to know your kind of your limitations. So no, I'm not going to do any makeup. Wait, maybe I might do a few.
A little foundation.
So what do you think? So you were, while you were working at a newspaper, you sort of saw like the it's dying days and you were like, oh, I got to get out early. What is there something now that you see like the future of soccer journalism? Like where do you sort of feel it's moving? And do you feel like that you owe something to your loyal readers that like, oh, you're going to stick to the website and not really try to do other stuff? Like, do you feel torn in any way?
Well, one thing I would say is when you talk to most people now, obviously people will say media is dying and the industry is definitely going through some tough things right now. But I think in terms of soccer, I think soccer is kind of in the United States is in a kind of rebound mode. And I think obviously with missing the World Cup, that caused a lot of damage, especially in the media landscape. A lot of people lost their jobs. But I think now with 2026, it'll be here before you know it. And I can already see like the business world kind of starting to like aim at that. And with that, I think you're going to see investment in the media space. And for old heads like me, who hopefully are still around, I think I'll be in a good position for that. And I think you will see more investment and people are always going to want to read, maybe not newspapers anymore, but I think people are always going to want to read. And I think people are going to want to see video. And I'm kind of trying to go into that area as well. But I mean, there's always going to be an audience for analysis and insight and interviews. So I think from that standpoint, things are headed in a good direction.
I feel like soccer, as far as like journalism, like the reading the content is probably best or I don't want to say the best necessarily, but like the most, it feels like the most passion compared to the other sports, right? The other sports are just so huge. Like you know, if you write on ESPN, you write or whatever, you're going to get a lot of viewership for the sake because people are just on those sites. But if you're working in soccer and you're writing about soccer, you love this, man. There's no way you're doing without like real heart and real passion. So that's what it feels like when it comes to print media per se, or writing in general, soccer is like the last one that'll be to go. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that your job is ending tomorrow. But it just feels like the most still relevant. That makes any sense.
No, I agree. I think part of that is because there's not as much of the other forms of media available for soccer. So there's still that abundance of written content. And now you're seeing it. You're seeing more of it. And I think if there's anything I worry about is the fact that you get a lot of people that not a lot, but you get some people who come in that maybe don't have the same kind of standards to the way they approach the business. So I'm not going to call anyone out, but that's kind of an issue.
Feel free to call anybody out.
That's it for me. That's the thing where I worry about. And maybe as an old head, I look at people with a little bit of a side eye, like, why you got to do that? Why are you doing that? Why are you trafficking in BS and rumors and this and that? But that's just the nature of the beast. And I think people at the end of the day will appreciate quality over time. And if you show that you do quality work over time and aren't about the BS, that people will follow.
Because we even saw like TMZ when they reported Wayne Rooney arriving, yeah. and it was the worst piece of coverage. Yeah. It was like nothing they said was accurate. Nothing made any real sense. They were criticizing, you know, retirement league this, and they're like, you don't even know.
You don't know how to pronounce Zlatan Ibrahimovic. How are you?
One thing I would say, times have changed in the sense that like 10, 15 years ago, if you got something wrong, like you had to wear that for like months. I mean, you know, if you wrote something and it ended up being false, nowadays you get something wrong and people forget about it in a day. And it's like, for me as an old head, like I still remember the old days. And like, so I feel bad. Like if I get something wrong, I'm like, I feel bad about it for a long time, but people seriously forget. And that's good and bad, because it's bad because there are people who know that now. So they're like, you know what? I'm going to throw these 10 things out there.
Yeah.
Two of them might be true, but you know, people might not notice. So I just tell everyone, be careful what you consume and pay attention to people who get a lot of things wrong, and maybe stop reading those people.
Okay.
Well, stop reading The Athletic.
No,
SBL.
Those guys are great.
No, those guys are great.
It's funny because sometimes we get messages from people that are like, hey, you guys didn't, this wasn't accurate. I'm like,
yeah, we know.
We know. Yeah. We know.
Comedian.
Please, if you're coming here for accuracy, don't, please don't.
Go to a different car. You're on the wrong car of this train. Go to SBI.
So, Ivis, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really, really appreciate it. Where can people follow you?
Especially the YouTube channel now, right?
Let people know.
Yeah, it's early days, but definitely go to the SBI Soccer YouTube channel, and also obviously SBISoccer.com. That's where you can find my writing, and there'll be more videos coming, especially once I kick the year off. And I'm planning to bring back the SBI show, the podcast.
Another podcast. Yeah. You gotta compete with.
I had the podcast up years ago, but now that the BSI, there's like a bootleg. It's like it's like the Chinatown version of the SBI show.
These MLS players.
Swap two letters.
Yeah, no, hey, you either gonna be a player, or you're gonna be a journalist. You can't be both.
I miss it, and I definitely wanna get back to doing it. And I think hanging around you guys and hanging around the Total Soccer Show guys kind of
showed you how easy it is.
Yeah, like if these guys can do it, I should get back to doing it.
If the guy with multiple sausages on his plate could do it, then I could do it. Good point.
Ivis, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. All right, guys, we'll be back with more after this.
I mean, what a wonderful interview with Ivis.
Ivis, great, great human being.
This great dude.
Just OG journalist, bro. Make sure you follow him.
That's what it says on his business card. OG journalist.
It says business on it.
One of the things that you and I have said we wanted to start doing is watching more Mexican soccer, right?
Yes.
So we decided to watch Liguilla, which is their playoff system. Mm-hmm. And it has been absolutely bananas.
Yeah, you get as many red cards as you do goals.
Yo, it is the littiest league ever.
No, it's we kind of made that conscious effort to be like, all right, let's watch it some more so we can be more aware of what's going on.
Right.
The final is coming up pretty soon on the 26th.
Right.
Between America and Monterrey.
Monterrey, Rayados, as they like to be called. Now, even though the fans hate it. The team wants to be called Los Rayados, and they don't like that.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't want to be called that. They want to be called Monterrey.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Speaking of not only the Rayados, they got into the final, but the women won the final.
That's
as
right.
Well.
They won the femenil.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, just Rayados, Monterrey, whatever, they're all getting dubs, right? They're winning.
Write whatever you want on these multiple trophies you be winning.
Call me whatever you want, but all I know, I'm getting the trophy.
Yeah.
So it has been pretty cool. So the semifinal of the second leg of each game between Caxa and Monterrey. Monterrey won the second leg 1-0. Aggregate, they won 3-1. But I mean, just watching these games, you start to feel like there is a little bit of craziness. Like it usually, especially in MLS in the last year in the two leg playoff system, it was always like one game was like a dud, and then the second game was like the one that really
insane.
Mattered.
Yeah.
That one was insane. Not in Liga MX.
No, they turned it up to 10. As soon as you blow the whistle, hey,
Both games are just wild. Yeah. And so, I mean, obviously it makes it tougher. Like, obviously, Necaxa was going to have a tough time.
Necaxa, great team this year, but I mean, come on.
Yeah. But so the interesting, so all I really knew about Necaxa was the first time I ever even saw them play was in the preseason game that NYCFC went to Necaxa to play against them. They went to play their like B squad.
Yeah.
And this was the one where Justin Hack, he played in the game and they kept yelling Cavani.
Cavani, yeah.
So I mean, which is just hilarious, right? He's a kid. He wasn't even
just has long hair.
He was an academy player. I don't think he was even signed yet. If I could be mistaken. So he's a kid. He happens to look like Edison Cavani a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Mexican fans in the Necaxa lost their minds. Yeah.
That's all they needed to see was long hair. And they were like, Cavani.
Cheering. I mean, it must have been a surreal experience for him, right? Just like kicking the ball around. But every time he touched the ball, a stadium of thousands of people lost their minds. Yeah, and he's a kid. He was like 15 at the time. So
imagine every time you touch the ball, thousands of people yell "Nani, Nani,"
bro. How
lit would that be? I touch the ball, people are like "Dom DeLuise, Dom DeLuise." You know what I mean?
How do the Mexican fans know Dom DeLuise? So man, I'm a huge fan of Dom.
A lot of references for American culture.
So Monterrey won the second leg, and then the other match between Monarcas, Morelia, and Club America.
What a wonderful team. I mean, they will smother you no matter where you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this one was interesting because Monarcas won the first game 2-0.
Right.
And then America came back to win, but they won on away goals. But this is they just need it. Like Club America, they're always there, right? They were in the Campeones Cup, right? And they're always
Gio DeSantos in the final. Plays there not right now because he had a chunk of his leg ripped off.
When a chunk of your leg is missing, it makes it tough to work in soccer.
Can I just tell you something? This is how lit the Mexican League is. One of the players had a chunk of his leg removed during the game.
Yeah, I mean, you say it removed like it was a surgical procedure.
It kind of was.
It wasn't an elective surgery.
The slow motion, it looked like the Zapruder film. It was disgusting. Part of his leg exploded off of his leg.
Yeah. I mean, look it up. Don't look it up. If you're squeamish, do not look it
up. Don't look it up if you're squeamish.
It's pretty bad. But yeah. So
if you like ketchup, don't look it up.
What do they mean? So the final, which is going to be, I believe, December 26th.
If available on Fubo TV. Both legs of it.
Yes, and the 29th on Through the Internet on Fubo TV. Make sure you're on there again. Also, we have a footballtv.com/cooligans if you want to do a free trial.
Yeah, get yourself a little discount, trial.
Save a little bit of money. So we're going to watch these. So we're excited about these because especially MLS offseason, once the apertura is over, then also there's a lot of rumors of a lot of these players possibly coming to MLS.
Right. One of the Club America players is being looked at by, I believe, Chicago, if I'm not mistaken.
In Miami, I've heard.
In Miami, that's
right. Yeah, yeah. So
making their first DP, right? Will be, I can't remember the gentleman's name.
I forgot the guy's name too. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Renato Ibarra, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But
Am I probably wrong? Probably wrong.
Hey, we're learning. We're picking it up as we go.
Come on, buddy. We'll get there.
But so the final, the 26th and 29th.
Again, we'll be watching it on Fubo TV. I suggest you do the same thing.
We also have to talk about the CONCACAF Champions League because
I believe you just mean the Champions League.
That's right. The one and only Champions League.
When you say Champions League, the first thing I think about is what's going on down in Costa Rica.
Okay. What's happening in Honduras right about now?
What's
in
San Salvador? What's the weather like for a game right now?
No, the CONCACAF Champions League, the draw is out, and they try to do...
That's right. Your draws are out.
The draw happened yesterday, Monday. So the interesting thing is that the CONCACAF Champions League tries to do a bit of a show like the UEFA Champions League.
Right, like that secondary league. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't quite meet up to, like, I think the the quality of a live event, a live show. They broadcast it, they stream it, but then they also do have like, they have like a translator on the thing. It's like a lot.
It also comes across just a little bit like a, like one of those like regional public access. Just a little bit.
So they just hire us, is what I'm saying. Up the production value a little bit. Yeah. You don't need to translate the stuff. Like, just subtitle it.
Subtitles, baby. People,
they'll read it. It'll be fine.
Or picture in picture for the... There's too many people on stage. Too many people.
There's a lot going on. And it doesn't really have the same exact star power,
right,
of UEFA Champions League when it's like a bunch of players.
Which is the one way UEFA Champions League beats CONCACAF Champions
League.
The
only way.
That's it, is just star power.
In production
power.
Value. Yeah, yeah. Not in the quality of the game or the players.
No, not the field either.
But no, let's take a look at the draw again, because we do have a couple interesting games. And now it's, MLS fans are going to have to decide if they want to travel to some of these games. So it's exciting. NYCFC will be playing against a Costa Rican team.
That's right.
So we have to figure out. We have to decide, dude. Alexis, do we want
to
go?
Are we going to Costa Rica?
Are we going to Costa Rica to watch a game?
I mean, it's up to us to decide, right? Like, Montreal is going to be playing Saprissa. Mm-hmm. Club America is playing a team I've never seen before. Atlanta United is playing a club I've never heard of before. But Cruz Azul, LAFC is playing León in Mexico.
That's the big one.
That's going to be wild.
That's the big one, because nobody... So that was the one where León had to be in the other pot. So it was an MLS team was going to end up playing against the Liga MX. So the point of it is that they tried to keep them in both spots so they don't play against each other until at least the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
But there was going to be one MLS team that had to play a Liga MX team, and... LAFC.
Home.
So that's going to be a big one, because we've already seen people. Shout out to Valeria, who she already booked this trip, booked it, which is incredible. So
that's incredible. She's like, we're ready to go.
You love the devotion from MLS fans, man. It's just like as soon as the Champions League is becoming a bigger thing and more important, because it isn't, you know, there was always the CONCACAF championship per se,
right.
But now people are so much more dedicated to like, all right, if we want to make it similar to the UEFA Champions League, this is the kind of commitment.
We have to dedicate ourselves to it. Yeah,
exactly.
But I think it also comes part and parcel with MLS clubs getting better. The more eyes from America are on it, just the better this competition is going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It looks like NYCFC is playing a team called AOSC.
Yes.
Which has a star above its crest, so they've won something, right? We don't know what, but they've won something.
We have to do homework.
Sounders are playing Olympia, which is a really big... Saprissa versus Montreal is going to be wild.
Wow, yeah, didn't they play Olympia in the last time they were in the Champions League? I could be mistaken.
I don't know, but I know this will be fun, yo.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I think we have to figure out, because we don't know when the actual game is going to be. It has a range. It's going to be between the NYCFC one
to the 27th.
So that's the second leg.
The first leg is 18th to the 20th.
18th to the 20th. So we don't know which game. So
that's it. We're going 3 days to Costa Rica.
I'm hoping it's not on the 18th, because that's the day we tape. And if it's hopefully the next day or the Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday, then we could probably go to the game.
Why don't the crew just come to Costa Rica with us?
Fubo, get on board.
Can I hear an applause from the cameraman if y'all want to go to Costa Rica?
Okay, we decided it for everybody at the up top.
Fubo.
Everybody on staff wants to go to Costa Rica. Yeah. So,
LiveX is coming too. Yo. Get the travel agents on board, baby. Let's do this.
A lot of big games. So those are going to be starting in February, and it's going to be dope. So make sure you tune in to those games, because again, they'll be on Fubo as well.
We got more when we get back.
Thank you.
We can't both do it. Also, thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody.
I said it first, technically. thank you. Also, thank you to our guest this week. Huh?
What an incredible Ivis Galarcev joining us today. Ike Opara.
Yeah, also joined us. We bring you the stars of American soccer, both players and journalists, and obviously the biggest stars of all, us.
Exactly. But only if their name starts with I.
That's right.
Rules are rules.
Yeah, we got to follow them. So please let us know if there's anyone else we can have on this show. No, but it's been amazing.
Yeah, a lot of fun today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed looking at my knees for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Because first time I've exposed my knees on television.
Let me just say, from up close, wild ashy.
Okay, my man needs to. Wow, very disrespectful.
What's in the water, my
lotion
guy?
Lotion up quite well.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You got some hard water coming out of your shower.
Yo, let me see your knees, dog.
These knees right now, my guy. Before we say goodbye.
Yo, zoom in on these knees, man. Yeah,
you think I won't pull my knees? What you know what? About this knee right here? Look how pale this joint is.
This.
By hydrated, touch that. That's the moistest knee you've ever touched, my guy.
I've never seen a sweatier knee. Yeah. I'll be honest.
Hell yeah, son. It's wild hot in this studio.
Thanks again. Make sure to follow us at Soccer Cooligans, at Fubo Sports, and follow the YouTube channel so you can watch all the old episodes. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alex Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!